Good morning. Happy New Year. And hopefully you had an awesome Christmas and great time with family and friends. Before I share a few things, I want to invite Carol Jernigan to come on up. Carol, this is for many of you. Yeah, let's clap for Carol. So most of you know Carol, but if you don't, he's a great guy to get to know. But I just want to highlight him for a moment today. When we started this building project, for those of you who haven't been with us for a long time, we met in a school gymnasium for 8 years, set up tear down every week. And then when we leased this space, it was completely empty other than that wall and that wall. So this one wasn't here, none of that was there, none of the office, the bathrooms, anything. And so we spent 6 months doing a build out to get in here. And in May of 2013, this guy who had started coming to the church in the gym asked if he could help a little bit around here. And for the next 6 months, basically, Carol was, we just did a lot together, didn't we? I mean, it was like every single day in here, we worked, you know, sometimes 15-hour days in here running electricity and with the build out so that we could get in here. And Carol did that all as a volunteer, even coating the floors, hanging lights, I mean, just everything you can imagine. Since then, once we moved in, we might as well clap for him right now. That sounds good. We can do that. And then once we moved in, he has continued to be really our maintenance person. And he does the vacuuming in here, things that you wouldn't see. He's usually here early morning, comes here way early on Sunday mornings, and cleans the floors and makes sure there's toilet paper in the bathrooms and all that stuff. Carol does. And he is just going to, he's not moving, he's not leaving that I know of. You're staying around, I think. But he is shifting the ways that he serves. He wants to serve more in a different capacity. And so I just wanted to thank you, Carol, for all that you've done for us in this way. And we really love you and appreciate you. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you so much for everything you've done all these hours. And just, and to really bless him. So let's just bless him. Lord, thank you for Carol. We bless him, his life. We thank you. We recognize the ministry you've put inside of him, the ways that he serves, the servant that he is, the things that he does that no one sees, and the gifts that you have given him that he has used full capacity. He just uses all that you give him to bless and to help other people. And Lord, we ask that you bless him abundantly. Just overflow him, and thank you for this man. Thank you for this friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Carol. Uh-huh. Yes, bless you. Oh, I'm supposed to give this to you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Almost forgot. All right. Really appreciate Carol. And so many of you, I was just thinking during the worship too, all of our musicians here that volunteer their time hours and hours a week, they sound so great, bring such a wonderful presence, and that's not easy. And so I'm just so thankful for all that serve behind the scenes. All of our volunteers, our ushers, it just goes on and on really throughout this place. We have a wonderful group of people. I'm so glad to be a part with you. And I'm so glad that you're not stuffy. I was thinking that also while we were worshiping. I really am. I'm so thankful that you're not a stuffy group. You know, I have had a chance to go to many churches throughout the country and the world. And it's interesting, every church has their own flavor. And it really a feel and just wonderful, wonderful things in so many different ways. But I had this thought today that some of the churches I've been to, some of them are one-handers in worship. And then every once in a while you find those that are two-handers. They can praise. And then I was thinking today I saw people dancing. It's like that is in the minority. And I love that there's an exuberance, a worship of God that's lavish. We're supposed to be outrageous worshipers, right? Where it flows out of us. I mean, if the world can celebrate a dumb football, which I like the game of football, but we can celebrate that and cheer and shout until our voices go hoarse, really, God should be worshiped more lavishly than anything else, right? So I'm thankful I'm with that group, and that's who you are. And I really love being a part of this church and with you and in this family. So I want to share a few things this morning, and then we'll do something fun. But, you know, 2017, here we are, the last day of the year, as we are peering into 2018, a place none of us have been before. No one ever has. And looking back for just a few minutes on the year and saying thank you, God, for what he's done, for all that he's done. I know that the year, every year is different for every person. And so some of you in here had a really hard, difficult year of 2017. A lot of you maybe lost loved ones, had some really maybe upheaval, difficulty in your lives and surroundings. And then others in here would say, man, this was the best year I've ever had. There was some change. My business grew, had more influence there before, started new things. Babies were born. People got married. All those things. And it's one of those kind of years. And that's part of a family. You have all those in the mix. And we want to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And we want to, you know, weep with those that weep and stand with and pray for those who are going through a hard time. So there's all of those things combined in a year. And God's view of every year and every season is going to be different than the world's, right? Even the hard things we go through, God will use them to cause us to have strength that we didn't have previously so that we can face the things that are ahead and with strength and be stable and have answers for those that need them. And I also think that his view of the things that take place is oftentimes the opposite of what's reported in the news. Things that are unreported, just to give you just a little bit of a perspective for us right now, you and I are part of the greatest thing going on the planet. It's called the kingdom of heaven. Yes. It's really true. The kingdom of heaven is the greatest thing going on the planet, always has been, always will be, since the time of Jesus. And it just increases over time. And it grows and grows. Did you know that Christianity is the fastest growing religion on the planet? It really is. Do you know that in China, just China alone, over 10,000 new believers every day are made. Over 10,000 every single day of new believers. Now, here in America, unfortunately, church growth is actually going the wrong direction. And in Europe, in many countries in Europe, less than 5% of the population attend. It used to be a harbor of Christianity 500 years ago or so, and that has just really dwindled. So we need to pray for Europe, honestly. We need to pray that the light would not be extinguished, that the change would take place, which is, I believe, a part of what we are supposed to be engaged with this year is some prayer in ways we haven't before. But the dark is getting darker, but the light really is getting brighter. The light is getting brighter. You and I are on the winning team. And God is doing things all through the earth. And so to any degree that we feel like that maybe we're sad or depressed or anything that feels like things aren't going right or things aren't going good, that's a wrong mindset and it's not full reality. Yeah, there are dark things going on, but the light is shining brighter. The stories that I hear and I read about, and I've heard firsthand from some people about the Muslims that are meeting Jesus in supernatural ways throughout the earth are unbelievable. Through dreams and supernatural experience where Jesus is coming to them, appearing to them in their rooms. Hundreds of thousands throughout the Middle East and many countries, most countries that are closed to anybody bringing the gospel. And so this is happening all over the place. Great things are taking place. And you and I get to be a part of the great things that are taking place, whether it's in prayer or in action in other ways. But that's what we're called to do, to know God, to take action. That's what Daniel said in chapter 11. At the end of times, there'll be those people who know God and they take action. That's our motto. That's what we want to do. We want to know him and enjoy him, to enjoy him. I was feeling this is part of the thing that I want to do more so in 2018 than 2017, is to enjoy God more. You know, that's part of what we are here for, is to enjoy him. to enjoy his presence, to enjoy the freedom that we have in him, to enjoy his nearness, to enjoy time with him. That's part of what we get to do, and then we get to take action out of our enjoyment and help people change the earth. As a church fellowship, we've had a lot of things happen this year, a lot of things to be thankful for. And I just want to mention just a handful, though this is not exhaustive in any way, but just a few, I guess, numbers even here. We dedicated 13 new babies this year here at Awake. Isn't that something? Isn't that pretty cool? Baptized in water, 34 people. At least 20 that we know of first-time salvations, people who gave their hearts to the Lord for the first time, met Jesus here. Rededications, at least 11 that we know of. 21 new families joined our church, went through the new members class, and decided this is a part of their home church, their home body. Awake Freedom, which is a ministry that ministers to people personally to help set them free and get them connected with the Lord in new ways. We had 57 people go through that. That's a lot of healing on the inside and people set free and connected with the Lord. We have over 100 people involved with GTs this last year. Those are our small groups. So those are a continual amount of people involved in small groups, getting to know one another, ministering to each other, developing relationships. Pretty exciting, really. And then we got to dedicate the new police station this year, which is kind of cool, which is right here in our parking lot. Citywide, God is moving, changing things. You know, when I came to this city, started coming in 2001, I met with a pastor or two and I asked them about what's the church, the body of Christ doing in the city of Winston-Salem together? And they said, nothing. We don't do things together here. And honestly, that has changed a lot. You know, even Love Out Loud, Christmas for the City, there are over 50 churches that come together to put that on. There are pastors groups, some that I'm a part of, where pastors get together monthly and pray for each other, laying hands on each other's shoulders and praying and sharing with each other, one another, what's going on in their lives. And the people are seeing themselves as, I'm part of something larger than my church. Things are happening in our city. The city is becoming a light on a hill. It really, I think, will continue to, over time, grow and grow, where people come here to be a part of what God is doing in Winston-Salem. I can see that happening. Things are changing in many ways in that way. Nationwide, you know, we've had a lot going on, just even from the political side in our country, and we need a reawakening of God with God in our country. No doubt about that. Of course, we have a new president that was installed this last year, and the Lord began speaking to me as I was praying about he and Hillary toward the end, before the election, and I felt the Lord say to me that President Trump is like a Nebuchadnezzar in some ways that God wants to use. He's not a well-put-together Christian example, right? But God wants to use him. He wants to use him to do some things. And so it's interesting. I won't talk much more about that. But what I do know is that God is using him in some ways, and we need to pray for him because he doesn't have all the answers, and he needs input that's wise. And so we need to continue to pray for him that God would do what he wants to do with him in our land and around the world. God is the one who establishes leaders. The Bible says that. And so we want to pray and watch what God does. And I'm thankful for many of the things he's doing there. Worldwide, a lot of things. I mentioned some of those already that are happening, good and bad. And time to pray some more and to be actively engaged. But corporately, individually, we have so much to be thankful for. I want to take just a moment. If you could turn to someone that's not your spouse and share with them at least one thing that God did for you or in you in 2017. Let's just take a couple minutes and do that among here. You might have to get out of your chair. Feel free to do that. Find someone and just share a testimony of what God has done for you in you. Share two things if you'd like. Okay. Everybody get a chance to share something that God has done in you, through you, with you this year. See, he's done a lot of stuff. You just keep talking. That's a good thing. There's a lot of good things going on. A lot of things God has done individually. We don't have time to go through it all. But thank you, Lord. I like that. And may you continue to share the things that God has done in you. Those testimonies build faith. Whether they're dreams God has given to you or healing that's happened in your body or promotions or relationships restored, whatever it is, God is at work in our lives and he has great things ahead for you in 2018. He really does, for you and through you. He is for us. Who could be against us if he's for us, right? He's for you, he's for me. Great things ahead. I wanna mention a handful of things though that I feel like the Lord's speaking to me for us for 2018. Things to pray into, things to do, things to be aware of, things to plan for, things to maybe say, okay, God, I hear you, you're saying something to me there. What can I do to begin moving in this direction or whatever that is? So I've got, I think, four or five here. First thing that the Lord began to speak to me, for 2018 is he's going to make a distraction adjustment in us. Where the enemy and really what the world system and culture is trying to do is to distract us from the most important things. So the Lord's going to help make a distraction adjustment inside of us as we allow him. And there's a scripture I've got here. It says, Hebrews 12, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin. So there's encumbrances and there's sin that aren't necessarily the same thing, which so easily entangles us. I'm saying entangles our thoughts and our minds and our attention. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Everything that's not fixed on him is a distraction. The Lord's going to cause adjustments in the distractions that have come to us. Who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When we are distracted from Jesus, we can easily grow weary and lose heart. Right? So the Lord wants to adjust what has been distracting us so that our eyes are refixed on Jesus and we have more input from heaven than we do from earth. And that is something I know I'm telling you, this is what God desires. And much of it happens through our devices with this distraction. It really is, I find myself, and I'm just gonna be honest, that when there is a dull moment or a moment that is free, that's not engaged, I just like an automatic, I'm on this. Is there anybody else in here that has any of those issues at all? That'd be honest enough to say. And what if instead of looking to a thing for entertainment for my soul, that I was looking to him for a view of heaven and what heaven wanted to put, because what comes in comes out, goes out. So as I focus on him, he's gonna come out. And that the Lord was gonna help us with that this year. So thank you, Lord, for that. And I think we'll be more productive, efficient, whole, healthy, won't be weary, all those things, strength and joy, have his perspective, his ways of seeing things. So it's gonna be a great year in those things right there alone. The second thing that I was feeling is that it is time to pray and request things. If you weren't here, I think it was 2 weeks ago, it might have been three, when I shared, I think 2 weeks ago, about moving heaven. That's the title, it's on our website, it's on a podcast. If you weren't here, I don't usually tell you to go listen to my message, but I'm telling you to go listen to the message from that week titled Moving Heaven. And there is something about us laying hold of our inheritance and laying hold of what God has purpose and plan, his will, and praying it and declaring it. It's time to pray. It's time to engage in requests. As my friend Bob used to say, the angels are waiting for things to do and waiting for God's kids to make requests so that they can be released to do those things. Pretty amazing. Third thing I was feeling is this, that we are going to, that you are to, that I am to be a voice. To be a voice. I heard that clearly. That you're to be a voice. And the context of this is John the Baptist. Do you remember? As he is ministering, people came to him and they said, "Who are you? Are you the Messiah?" He said, "No." They said, "Are you a prophet?" He said, "No." They said, "Then what are you?" And he said, "I am a voice." That's what he said. He said, "I'm a voice." And then he said, "Of one crying in the wilderness, declaring, prepare the way of the Lord." But he said, "I'm a voice, and I feel as though God is going to help us to be voices this year, that your voice and the words that you use and what you say not only matters, but it will change the destiny of lives of many people. What you say will go into the heart, even if they don't respond in that moment or they reject you in a moment. That what you say, your voice, is going in as a seed in the hearts and minds that God wants to use to change lives. Be a voice. Use every opportunity to share life and love and the gospel, the good, glad, merry news that makes somebody want to leap for joy. To share those tidbits or small encouragements. One small encouragement that takes one sentence can change someone's life forever. So you are to be a voice this year, not to be silent. I am too. I'm taking this for myself. The fourth thing I heard was missions. Part of the blessing of our nation, I don't know if you realize this, but I really believe that one of the reasons why America has been as blessed as it has been for these 200 plus years is because of the heart for others and the mission that we have sent more missionaries from this country than any other country in the world by far. But that has waned over time. And then it's starting to get less and less. In fact, how about this? Of all the church giving, 0.001% goes to reach unreached peoples in missions. We've taken our eyes off the ball. And I can feel the Spirit, I'm telling you, like this emphasis on being missional, on reaching out beyond ourselves. We're the most blessed nation on the planet as well. But I really believe this is our moment. The sun is still shining. It is still light. It's still day. It's time to work where we can engage in prayer, in giving, and going, in helping the nations, in praying for them. I met a guy years ago I went to his house. I've never seen anything like this. He had scriptures plastered everywhere in his house. Single guy, had no bed. In his bedroom, had a sleeping bag on the floor, and I said, "Well, how come you don't have a bed?" I thought maybe he just couldn't afford one. He said, "No." He said, "When I was a young boy, I felt the Lord inviting me to feel what most of the world feels, and that they don't have beds. So I asked my dad to take my bed out of the room so I can feel what they feel and intercede for most of the world that don't know Jesus." So he was praying. His life was a life of prayer for the nations, and there are as I have had a chance to travel, and many of you have as well, and you see how most of the world lives, there's a great need, and we get to be involved in praying the purposes of God. And he said, "Pray, for the laborers are few." So that's one thing to pray. Pray for missions to take place. Pray for laborers to be sent into the harvest field. Jesus said that. He said, "Please pray that there'll be laborers that'll be raised up and sent into the harvest." We need to do that. And I believe that Lord's gonna use us in ways to touch the nations this year like we've never seen before, and into the future as well. The fifth thing I heard was change for all of us in many ways. You know, we're honoring Carol here. He's changing in some of the ways that he's serving and ministering. I think we're going to continue to see great change, not only in our nation, in our church, with us. God is unchanging, but he changes those who follow him, right? We're following him. He's causing us to change and adjust and do things differently and try things we haven't tried, not just stay comfortable doing the same thing over and over and over. He is this God that leads us to do new things. He loves new songs, he loves new sounds, and he wants us to change into his image, to be flexible, to follow him into all the things that he wants you to do, for me to do today. It says in Romans 13, put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for your flesh in regards to its lusts. Put on him. You don't know where he's gonna go, what he's gonna do, what he's gonna invite us to do with him this year. Change in many ways. If we'll embrace it, wow, new things happen. We're gonna get to try new things we've not tried before, praying for people we haven't prayed for before, saying things we haven't said before, doing things we haven't done before. Some good changes coming. And I think as we look back on 2018, a year from now, I think we will be able to say, I experienced things in God that I never had experienced before, that I didn't know were possible, that I didn't know was possible. I saw God do things in me and through me that I'd never seen before. May that be our testimony as we gather here next year, or wherever you will be. And then lastly, I was feeling the Lord saying that he's taking the dull and making it clear. So the things that seem unclear, the things that are hazy, the things in your life, maybe it's direction for the future, the Lord's gonna add clarity and bring clarity to the things that are needed for your sight and your vision and your future and your direction. So Lord, we just say to all these things, do them, Lord. Do them all in Jesus' name. Use us, and may we set our course your way and your direction. He wants to do that in all of us. You know, one of the most important things every year, I think, is to take a look and an account of the state of our soul and my closeness with Jesus, because that's more important than anything else. Am I closer to him now than I was last year? Am I more in love with him in this moment than I've ever been before? And if not, then I'm saying, God, change me, because I want to be more in love with you. I want to worship you more lavishly. I want to have a heart that is more toward you and full of you than has ever been before. Right? When the Lord spoke to John about the church of one of the churches of the end times, he said, you're doing great, but I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. You're doing great things, but love is waning in your heart. He said, repent, come back. Make sure that this is not the case moving forward. And I think about that often for myself, and it's just a reminder for all of us as well, that through everything that happens in life, that I make sure that my love for him is getting hotter and hotter and hotter. That my love for God is growing, that my heart is more his than it was before. And if that's not the case, then I need to make some changes. I need to make some adjustments. I need to change something right now, because I can't afford to not be as in love with him as I used to be. I need to be more in love with him. Where today I can say, Lord, there's just nothing like this relationship I have with you. And so for all of us, if you're feeling, I'm not where I used to be in my love for him, here's what, you know, Jesus said, all you have to do is repent. And if we saw it that way, if we saw it like a sin that I need to change. So I own it, Lord. I take ownership of my heart being colder than it used to be. And I'm sorry, I ask for forgiveness. Oh, Lord, man, rewarm my heart. Turn up the flame. Crank up that flame on the inside so that I am more passionately in love with you than ever, because you said this is the greatest thing, to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength, everything. So anyway, where that flame is dim, Lord, crank it up. I want to be in love with you. Let your words drench the inside of me, and I look forward to every moment that I get with you. So he wants to do that with all of us and in us. And I think end of the year is always a good time to reevaluate, make adjustments, get rid of things that are encumbering, if that's the word, encumbrances to us. As Hebrews says, to put those things off and say, man, that thing is a drag on me. That thing's a drag on my love to Jesus. So I'm putting that thing aside. I'm getting rid of that. We can make adjustments right now and start afresh in him. All right. Let's, I want to encourage this last thing, and then I want to pray, is encourage you to seek the Lord, perhaps fast some at the beginning of this year. There's several ways that you can do that. There's so many resources out there on the internet and through Bible programs and devotionals to set your course to pray fast, seek God, get into the Word more than ever, make sure that that flame is cranked up of love with Him. Something that the Lord put on my heart that I wrote really for you as a church several years ago, it's called The Extraordinary Journey. It's 22 days of what I call it, it's a spiritual adventure guide of engaging God in new ways, receiving His love, doing things in a devotional way with Him that are unusual and maybe out of the ordinary to create freshness with Him. And so I've written that. I don't mention it very often, but we're going to have those for sale. They're $10 each. That will just go to the church. You can get them at the Welcome Center when we're done. If you don't have one and you can't afford it, they'll give you one as well. But it can be used as a tool, like many other tools out there, to help us engage with God and to be devoted to Him. The book was written a few years ago, too, and the website that's attached to it isn't working well. So whatever it says, go to the website. Just forget that part. But other than that, I think it can be one of those helpful things. And I want to dedicate and pray and give the Lord 2018 for us. And then we want to do one more thing here. So if you would with me, let's just dedicate our lives, our families, our future, our jobs, all that we are to Him, like a rededication to the Lord, that He would use us in 2018 in a powerful way, that nothing would be left on the table, that we would live in an unreserved fashion, right? If you would stand with me, if you don't mind, and let's just give that. And I'll pray, but just from your heart, let's just do this together. Lord, we thank You, first off, for 2017. Thank You that we are alive. Thank You for the food that we've eaten over this last year. Thank You for the nights of sleep we've had. Thank You for the vehicles we've driven, the homes we've slept in, the beds we've had, the clothing we've worn. Thank You, Lord, for the families that we have, for the relationships, for the children and the parents and the spouses and the brothers and sisters and all of our spiritual family, those in this room. Thank You, Father. Thank You for filling us with so much of Your Spirit that we can't even contain. Thank You for being in us and with us and guiding us and enabling us to be alive. Thank You for giving us purpose and hope and joy. Thank You, God, for our nation that we get to live in. Thank You, God, for all that You've done and who You are. We thank You, Jesus. Thank You for 2017. We give it to You in its entirety. The good, the bad, the ugly. We give all of that to You, Lord, and say thank You for it. You said in everything, give thanks. And Lord, we also just take a peek into tomorrow and the 364 days beyond that of 2018, and we give the year ahead to You as well. We present it to You and we say, Lord, You know all the steps that I will take. You know every bit of air that I will breathe, every thought that I will think. You know my goings and comings, and Lord, we're giving You this next year for our lives, for our families. I ask that You would invade every part of it. We invite You to lead us. We invite You to guide us. We invite Your protection. We invite Your adjustments on the inside of us. We even say, Holy Spirit, as boldly, come on in and have Your way. Make changes in us. Make us more like the Son of God. Make us more like Jesus, where there are quirks in us that are offensive to You, change us. We lay those on the altar. We give ourselves to You as a living sacrifice for 2018, that You would use us, remake us, create brand new things with us. Lord, I ask You to lead us into those adventures with You that we can't even imagine right now. And may healings take place. May miracles abound. May lives be restored. May hope grow. May vision increase. May clarity come for every single person here and extended families. And Lord, we're going to celebrate You in 2018. We're going to worship you in 2018. We're going to live for you and use these bodies you've given to us in service of you, of your kingdom. We just say, here we are, Lord, we're yours. We give you the year ahead and we thank you for what's behind. And we say yes to all that you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just keep standing if you wouldn't mind. And can I have all of my department leaders and those that I sent an email to this week to come up front? You know who you are. Ministry leaders, our ministry teams, prophetic teams, worship team. If you could all come up front and we'll see how many we have here right now. So we'll probably just do this up front. Let's make a tunnel. If you could face one another. And we're going to have a going out of 2017 and a going into 2018 with a blessing from our leaders here to you. And we want to, let me invite the GT leaders too. Any GT leaders out there? Could you come up and join this crowd? Just stand, just like you are, across from one another. And here's what these guys are going to do if you've not been a part of this before, is we're going to form a line that's going to go through this tunnel. And they are going to speak blessing and life and joy and hope and just great things over you as you walk through. Okay, so it's just receiving from God what he wants to say. In some ways, but I'm going to ask this so that everyone gets prayer, that you keep your feet moving. Even if they're little Tim Conway steps for those at least 40 or older. But you keep moving so that the line keeps going. It's easy to stay in one spot. So if you keep your feet moving, people are just going to pray for you and bless you and encourage you and prophesy over you as you go through here and we walk into 2018. So if we could just start the line over here, maybe, yeah, let's start over here. Come on through. Have a wonderful day. Have an awesome year. I love you guys. So appreciative and thankful for you. Have a great one. You're free to go after you get blessed.